chapter 12, starting at verse 13, and it can be found on page 847. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life has been demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And so may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If I said, what song would you associate with Fiddler on the Roof, the film or the musical, what would it be? If I Were a Rich Man. I'm so glad it was that one that you thought of and not anything else. We probably all know it. The song is sung by Tevye, the main character, and reflects his dreams of glory. But in the course of the film or the musical, we learn that his real values are different from what he sings about. His faith, integrity, virtue, family, and the purpose of life mean more to him than the wealth he claims to wish for. The beginning of the song begins, "Dear God," as though the start of a prayer, as he dreams of the material comforts that wealth would bring him. But then in the final verse, Tevye considers his devotion to God. He expresses his sorrow that the long working hours he keeps prevents him from spending as much time in the synagogue as he would like, and how wealth would allow him to spend less time working and more time praying. And so he finally asks God, who made the lion and the lamb and decreed I should be what I am, would it spoil a vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? I wonder, have we ever dreamed of being rich? And if we were rich in abundance of time, would it increase our devotion to God? There is no universally agreed definition of wealth. What it means to be rich is a very personal thing. To some, wealth is measured in money, to others, land or cattle. In poor countries, the wealthy may be those who have enough to eat and a roof over their heads. And even though we may not have no more than the average person in the country, we probably have more than enough to eat and plenty of gadgets, space and freedom to make decisions about our life. And in the first letter of Paul to Timothy, we heard that he wrote, "For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, Some have wandered away from the faith. And so he continues to command those who are already rich not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So would rich really be as good a thing as we imagine it to be? Money in itself is simply pieces of metal and paper. And the reason they are of any concern to us at all is that in our culture we have established that these pieces of metal and paper will function as currency. They will represent value. So money is significant for us simply because we exchange it for what we value. And if you carry on reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, at verse 34, Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The movement of our money signifies the movement of our heart. Our life is given to us by God, not for the pursuit of an abundance of possessions, but rather our possessions have been given to us for the pursuit of God. If we are more concerned about what we have on earth, we are less concerned about what or who we have in heaven. And since our life belongs to God, shouldn't we then strive to be rich towards God by using the possessions we have, not only to meet our needs, not our wants, but our needs, but also the needs of others, demonstrating that we are followers of Jesus Christ? Jesus uses a parable to illustrate this point very effectively. It is commonly called the parable of the rich fool, because the man in the parable is very rich, yet very foolish. Perhaps this could be the parable of our times, where most people seem obsessed with the idea of gathering more and more possessions, as if the value of life depended on it, and where seeking more and more money often turns us into fools who prepare our own downfall. As the parable says, what really matters is making ourselves rich in the sight of God. Now, we could argue that the rich man is not foolish because he makes provisions for the future, but it's his future that is his only concern. He doesn't think to use his abundance to help others. And all the ambitious planning is in vain, because that same night he was to die. Who would inherit his substantial fortune, since he can't take it with him, though he lived as though he could? He's not called a fool for being a productive farmer, rather because he gave no indication of being rich toward God. He kept building bigger barns. That might be okay if you're storing the grain for a use that shows God is your treasure. But what does the farmer say? "I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." That is my life, and the riches in my barns make it possible. I will have ample savings set aside for the future, and we'll be all set up to enjoy my golden years. But hang on, isn't this what we are encouraged to strive for? Isn't it wise and responsible to save for the future? The rich farmer has worked hard and saved wisely. Now he can sit back, relax, and enjoy the fruits of his labor. Yet there is one very important thing the rich man has not planned for: his reckoning with God. And God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" The rich farmer isn't a fool because he is wealthy or because he saves for the future, but because he lives only for himself. He believes that he can secure his life with his abundant possessions. He expresses no sense of gratitude to God or to the workers who have helped him plant and harvest this bumper crop. He has more grain and goods in storage than he could ever hope to use, yet seems to have no thought of sharing it with others, and no thought of what God might require of him. He's blind to the fact that his life is not his own to secure, that his life belongs to God, and that God can demand it back at any time. The rich man learns the hard way that you can't take it with you. All that we work so hard for in life will end up in someone else's hands, and who knows whether they will be wise or foolish. The reality is that we are often tempted to think that having large amounts of money stored up will make us secure. But sooner or later, however, we learn that no amount of wealth can secure our lives or protect us from disease, from a tragic accident. No amount of wealth can keep our relationships healthy and our families from falling apart. In fact, wealth can easily drive a wedge between family members, as is the case of the brothers fighting over their inheritance at the beginning of the gospel. But most importantly, no amount of wealth can secure our lives with God. And Jesus repeatedly warns that wealth can get in the way of our relationship with God. It's all about priorities. It's about who God truly is in our lives, how we invest our lives and the gifts that God has given us, how our lives are fundamentally aligned. Are they towards ourselves and our passing desires, or toward God and our neighbor and God's mission to bless and redeem the world? Our lives and possessions are not our own. They belong to God. We are merely stewards of them for the time God has given us on this earth. So being rich toward God means counting God greater riches than anything on the earth, and using earthly riches to show how much we value God in our lives. And this is what the prosperous farmer failed to do. The issue is not that the man was rich. The issue was, what did he do with his riches? St. Paul taught the early church that giving should be regular and free, disciplined, not spontaneous, which points to the wisdom of our planned, regular, disciplined giving to the church today. Sporadic giving with no plan will probably mean we are not treating giving as an integral part of our worshipping life. If we don't put something regular in place, we may well call more things needs which are in part only wants. And since we need to remind ourselves that giving is an essential aspect of our heart's worship, we always build into our services the offertory prayer, that time of opportunity to show our gratitude for God's greatness. And so we pray, yours, Lord, is the greatness. And then we end with, all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Now you might say, well, I haven't really got disciplined giving because I can't get every week, so I can't always put my envelope in the tray. Well, there is always electronically giving, the standing order. And if you want to know a bit more about that, then you can speak to our treasurer, John Malkin, who has a tool for that to help you do it. Try setting aside electronically a regular gift to the church, and then add spontaneous gifts in the worship services when possible. How much do we value God? How do we use the time, the talents, and the treasure that God gives us? May the Lord grant us all the joy of finding our life not in possessions, but in the abundance of all in God, through our sharing and generosity, and in fulfilling our covenant commitments, thus showing the world what it means to have God as our riches. Amen.